Jessica Springer, Reader.
Cruddy by Linda Barry.
Come on, Roberta, your turn.
Julie had been talking, but I hadn't really been listening. Something about how I would kill the unkillable hand. She said she would light it on fire. Many squirts of lighter fluid and then a match. And then whoosh, she said, whoosh, incinerated.
You, Roberta, your turn. How would you do it?
Stab it. Stab it and pound the knife in with a rock. Julie scratched her nose and looked at me hard. Could she tell? Was it obvious that a second wave of creeper was starting to wash over me? She said,
You could stab it, but it would still be alive, though.
I said, It wouldn't matter. It wouldn't be going anyplace.
But it could still escape and come back after you.
Not the way I'd do it, it wouldn't.
I still think burning it.
I said, but the bones, Julie, bones crawl after everybody. I was dialing the phone again, sitting on the kitchen floor with the cord stretched down. And I was facing the wall, and I was making little fingerprint dots on the wall with smears of blood. I counted the rings. I said, come on, Vicky, answer. Answer. I did not expect such a hard kick. The back of my eyes tilted out in red explosions from the sudden crack to my back. Julie was standing over me and screaming,
You are calling somebody! You are going to leave me here!
Hello? 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 Said the midget voice from the drop telephone. Julie and me were on the floor. She was yanking out chunks of my hair, and I was bashing her into the table legs and punching her hard. She started screaming and screaming. I let her go. She picked up the telephone and shouted, You die! And threw it. She yanked open a drawer, and then there was this very weird moment. A weird, stretched out second where everything in the room just expanded. Time expanded. Molecules and the spaces between the molecules expanded. I saw every cell of Julie's arm making the graceful slow motion arc, and I had time to notice the mother's meat knife cutting through the air, every glinting particle of every single molecule coming straight at my face, and I had time to calmly lean to the side and watch it pass my head and tongue into the wall. Julie, do you know what the father would have said? He would have said you were a natural. He would have said, Give that girl a lucky strike. He would have pushed his whole pack of cigs at you and passed you his USN lighter. Watch out for Creeper, because just when you think it is all drained out of you, just when you are sure your Creeper experience is over, you will suddenly feel the incredible white explosion shoot up your back, and your fingers will stretch out incredibly long, and your mouth will gush incredible amounts of joyful saliva, and you'll be hunched over in front of the TV, and your hanging drool will look fantastic in the blue jumping light. And your sister will freak. Your sister Julie, who just tried to tong a meat knife straight into your face, will suddenly freak, and she will say, Roberta! Roberta! What's wrong? She will freak from how you are hunching and stretching out your incredibly long fingers and lifting your lips up and down over your wet teeth, and she will keep on freaking, even while you speak to her very calmly, saying, Julie, Julie, shh, don't talk. Right now, just don't talk to me. And her face will be flickering, and it will be wet with streaks of crying, and she will say, Don't die, Roberta. Don't die. Please don't die, Roberta. And you will smile at her. And this will be what makes her scream. The Never-Ending Story by Michael Enda. The farther Bastion went into the city, the thicker became the crowd. But none of the people seemed to know where they were going. Several times, Bastion saw someone dragging a heavily laden cart in one direction. Then, after a short time doubling back, and a few minutes later changing direction again, everybody was feverishly active. Bastion decided to speak to one of these people. What's the name of this place? The person let go his cart, straightened up, and scratched his head for a while as though thinking it over. Then he went away, abandoning his cart, which he seemed to have forgotten. But a few minutes later, a woman took hold of the cart and started off with it. Bastian asked her if the junk was hers. The woman stood for a while, deep in thought. Then she, too, went away. Bastian tried a few more times, but received no answer. Suddenly, he heard someone giggling.
"No point in asking them," said the giggler. "They can't tell you anything. One might, in a manner of speaking, call them the know-nothings."
Bastian turned toward the voice and saw a little gray monkey sitting on a window ledge, or rather on what would have been a window ledge if the window hadn't been upside down. The animal was wearing a mortarboard with a dangling tassel and seemed to be busy counting something on his fingers and toes. When he had finished, he grinned and said,
"Sorry to keep you waiting, sir, but there was something I had to figure out."